Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 46 of Preparing for the Inevitable, a podcast on how to handle trouble, suffering, pain, afflictions, and death. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast will help you get ready to face the unfortunate, inevitable, unpleasant things that will happen in your life. I didn't say somebody else's, I said your life. See, we always think it's going to be somebody else, but one day it will be us. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Such things as trouble, suffering, sickness, and death, the death of people you love, which is oftentimes more painful than your own death, but that will come too. Sometimes trouble comes double, tribulation, trouble, suffering, and death are common threads that run throughout all of humanity. Job said, a man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. They are inescapable, and we cannot escape. You will never meet a person who has not, is not, or will not experience these terrible things in life. Andrew Hamilton, the great evangelist, said that either you're coming out of trouble, you're in trouble, or you're getting ready to have some trouble, but you will experience trouble. Yet we attempt to hide from these inevitabilities, to pretend that they don't exist or that they won't happen to us. Our world is filled with news of people dying every day, oftentimes tragic deaths. I don't even have this family on my prayer list, but I have been praying for them daily. They just lost their beautiful 10-year-old child. 10 years old. Just a freak, what we as human beings would call a freak situation. She went swimming and now she's dead. So trouble suffering and death come equally to all people of all races, from every socioeconomic status, of every religion, in every country of the world. It makes us all very equal. This podcast will show you how to accept these realities of life and not just cope, but face trouble, suffering, and death in your own life and in the world with confidence, courage, class, and most of all with faith, hope, and charity. And of course, with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's good stuff right there. Allow me to read that in your hearing again. I don't think you got that, because I didn't hear you all say amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The featured quote for this episode of preparing for the inevitable is from Dr. C.S. Lewis. I had the joy and privilege of visiting his office at Oxford in Great Britain some time ago, pretty much as he left it. Kind of all messed up, like most geniuses. Anyway, he said, if we really think that home is elsewhere and that this life is a wandering to find home, why should we not look forward to the arrival? Our topic for today is titled A Model Funeral Home, Part 2, from the fine book The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come by Dr. Rob Maul. Now, I don't know to this day whether or not I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but I'm afraid to change it. And hopefully he'll contact me if I'm wrong, but right now he's cool. May the Lord bless him. He's helping a lot of people. For those families who took advantage of this personal care, the funeral became a unique event in the spiritual chronology of their lives. Upon arriving to work at a service, I saw how deeply the Holtgren directors cared for families. By handling details and answering questions, Holtgren enabled families to focus on the hard work of grieving. The hard work of grieving. I like that phrase because it is hard work. All the important stuff is hard work in life. Prayer is hard work. Many people don't think so, but it is. The hard work of grieving that lay before them. It wasn't unusual to see families deeply comforted by the funeral directors. Loved ones called in with families stopped by to drop off pictures, personal items, or other details for the service. Families often discussed how wonderful the funeral home was. It was a business run with the heart of a ministry. The people loved the people. In fact, I often heard families express a deep and heartfelt appreciation for the work of the embalmer who made the deceased look like him or herself again, or maybe even better. Still, the Holtgrens could only work within the context provided by families and churches. And may I add, one of the greatest lessons that all people can learn is to humble themselves and to submit to others when it's time to do so. It is a beautiful thing. And not only do wives, not only should wives submit to their husbands, but it is a beautiful thing when a man who is more gifted in an area or placed in authority over another man, and that man humbles himself and submits, and if he can't submit, he resigns. It is a respectable thing. It's a beautiful thing. When there was discord, anyway, when there was discord, when there was minimal attachment to a church, when there was little personal context to provide a sense of purpose to the funeral, the work of the funeral home was limited. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will begin looking at a public expression in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare us, Lord, for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations like we had today and for tragedies. For so many down through the years have left a celebration only a few hours later, have the day end in tragedy. Like the poor couple who got married and got in their car to go celebrate and were hit by a truck and they died instantly. So, Holy Father God, prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies, weddings and funerals, life and death. And only you can prepare us because you're the only one who knows what's on the other side. And to you be the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please understand that after you die, you will be ushered into one of two places to spend eternity, heaven or hell. Here's how you can be sure that you will not go to hell and suffer eternal damnation forever, and rather have a home in heaven when you die. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, I am the chief of sinners." So don't think that you're alone. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Fourth, accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Fifth, accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these truths in mind, dear friend, please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul this very moment, and he will. The Bible states in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from sin and hell and change my life today and forever. Amen. Beloved, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have indeed done the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Remember, dear friend, believe by faith, share the faith, and keep the faith. God bless you.